everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world. WWCR 5890 on your radio dial. Glad to have you aboard. Hopefully that you're listening to us live tonight, and you're joining us with the Shepherd's Call. It is Pastor Buddy, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Glad to have you in here. Sponsored tonight by Brother Mark, by Brother Ed, and by Brother Bud in Mississippi, along with Brother Paul up in the state of Michigan, 1-800-253-2748. Got a good one for you. We're going to Genesis 3:15. We're going to look at the seeds and the word tree as it symbolizes the different things in the Bible. We're going to get into the basic fundamental meaning, the breakdown to the right hand of Genesis 3:15 and to the left hand of Genesis 3:15. Now, what we're talking about is the seed that came from the woman. We're talking to you literally and spiritually, figuratively, if you will, in some cases. You know, the Bible says between milk eaters and meat eaters. Now, what are you tonight? Are you a spiritual babe desiring milk? Well, milk is something that will not give strength to those that are of age, those that have discerned by reading, by studying, to coming out of Babylon, to come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of the sin failure to understand. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are the ears that's been cultivated for spiritual enhancement. The Garden of Eden could be described literally and figuratively, if you will, as a place to grow things. Well, what about your spiritual understanding? Can that grow? The word eat to many simply implies to consume food with the mouth. But it also means to partake. In Proverbs 30 and 20, it tells us that if an adulterous woman who has just partaken in adultery, that she lay with a man that was not her husband. Well, let's go back to Genesis for just a moment. And when Eve ate, she ate of a forbidden food, something that she was not to partake of. What did she eat? And if you look at the Strong's reference to the word eat, which is Strong's number 398, it's akal, means to the 13th reasoning there. If you go back in all of the explanations of the meaning of that word, because to eat would produce something that you need to consume, to ingest, to have in your body, to make you grow. And in this case, she was guilty of partaking of adultery of the Bible here that we just read in Proverbs. Now, what she did was that she committed adultery. She took a seed into her body because of her hunger that had been aroused a sexual hunger, not a natural hunger. She didn't bleed from her mouth. She bled from her womb up until, if you will, the seed was planted, then sin conceived, and when sin conceived, that is, the seed took the sperm, the hunger for the body to produce. You see, the body's got a natural desire to procreate. And when her body was alerted to these sensitive things that she had never been opened up to, remember, she was blind spiritually. If you could see that, she had a blindfold on in this environment, or this state of mind, we might say, that she did not understand what Satan was there for. Now, when she said in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, if you'll read that word Lord there and give it a proper interpretation there again, being able to discern, being able to be on the meat, be on the right side of Genesis 3:15. Now, Genesis 3:15 basically is telling us that the woman and the serpent had seed there. The woman and the serpent. Now, the serpent beguiled the woman by placing his seed into her womb. Therefore, she conceived in illicit adultery. It was not meant for her to partake with someone other than whom she was made for. Now, who was she made for? And you're going to say, in a sense, Adam. Well, who was Adam? Was he in the image of Yahweh? Yes, he was. And did Yahweh have anything to do with the pregnancy of the woman? Remember, she had twins. Now, the question is here, who's responsible in the earth for their doings? Every man must give an account. And the first Adam was of the earth earthly. That's the man that was manifested out of the ground. Eve was a hybrid from that particular experience of Adam. Now, where in this relationship, to your understanding, where do you fall? On which side of the acorn or the tree do you fall? If we're talking about the seed that falls from the tree, we're talking about consuming, we're talking about eating, we're talking about whether literal, symbolic, or spiritual, the seed became enclosed where it was planted to reproduce itself. Now remember, she had twins. Now, one was in the image of the implantment by the wicked one. It either made the tree good by the seed it bared, or the evil seed as from the evil it bared, and it either made it good or bad. It made it in its likeness of its offspring. Now, did you know that we could be like him in his offspring? Yes, that's true. We could be in his image when we were made. Now, that's strange that we could be like him and be made in his image. Now, again, the word tree is used to symbolize different things. Yahweh used it in the Bible when we have our understanding discernment from the meek. We see it used in the New Testament in Luke 21:29, when he was given us the blind man. He healed in the Bible in Mark 8:24, another term. So out of the ground, out of the sperm that was placed in the body of the woman in a natural setting to symbolize these different things, in Luke 21:29, it's the blind man and the word used as a nation here in Luke 21. So it could be sperm enclosed at the setting when the woman bared two seeds. Now, don't let, you've heard this saying, do not let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. Or do not let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. So then if we see this, the serpent, he was subtle. He was more subtle than any beast of the field. The word serpent came from the word nakash, to hiss, or to whisper, or to cast a magic spell, or to become a divine enhancer, to learn by experience, to be very subtle, cunning, wise, intelligent, having a knowledge of understanding. The serpent was the highest of all beings at this point that's been encountered before everything that was in the garden, the trees that were in the garden. Now, the two that were mentioned specifically was in the midst of the garden. One of these trees was the tree of life. You know who that was. Surely, you're not going to naturalize that and think that that was a tree standing there when the man said, I see men as trees, here in the Bible that I've just quoted you. And then I see men as a nation, in other words, offspring to create something made in its image. And now I said you either make the tree good to the left or to the right. One is on milk, one is on meat. Now, where do you stand here on this very, very complex, broadly brushed account in the book of Genesis? And if you don't get it right here, chances are you're not going to get it right anywhere else. It's not going to fall in place for you. If you can be daring, bold, and you can really think for yourself in a spiritual setting, you can get the key to the knowledge that passes this wonderful understanding that is available for you right in the book of Genesis. To me, it's the skeleton key to open up the knowledge and understanding that you're going to need throughout the rest of the Bible, because basically the whole Bible is a Bible about genealogy, good and bad. Now, I said make the tree good. That would be Yahweh was going to make a seed good out of the womb of Eve. Satan made a seed bad. Out of him was created, out of his seed, out of his DNA structure, came someone that couldn't understand a babe that would remain a babe. You see, when Cain was manifest, He worshiped Yahweh. He came and offered to Yahweh. But he offered on his terms. He wanted Yahweh to accept his terms and to agree because he was in a fallen state. Yahweh didn't see any potential, no spiritual ability to him to ever get on meat. But he was very, very wise. He was very, very cunning. He was a diviner, a spellcaster. He was just a chip off of the block. He's very subtle, and he was a murderer from the very beginning. Now, in this series of events, Satan needed to act quickly because he was trying to create a physical, carnal environment for this man Cain to live in. The only thing he couldn't do for Cain was promise him inheritance or eternal life. That was denied Abel because Abel was a son of Yahweh. What to prove this, that Yahweh had a choice, Satan had a choice, and the offspring had a choice. That means that you have to choose this day in this environment that you find yourself in, first Adam. You're here with a flesh body that's been cursed. Because the word serpent, the Nakash, he was the progenitor, if you will, of the flesh man. Yahweh was the progenitor of the spiritual man. There is an inward man. Listen to me now. As we go deeper into this mystery of Genesis 3:15, what side are you on? Where can you stand tonight in your understanding as you search your own heart, soul, and mind to see where you stand? Now, if the tree is made good, well and good. If not, sin lays at the door. Well, we find sin finding Cain just after the first act of sin that he ever committed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be surprised at this. The first act of sin was not killing Abel. The first act of sin itself was, again, adultery by Eve and fornication by Satan, or the act of illicit seed dropping. Now, we're going to talk a little bit in the series about the firstborn. We know that Cain had the distinction of being born first. He wasn't begotten, he was gotten. Now, there's a difference here, and I'm going to explain that as going in deeper to the meat application of the series as we go through from time to time and touch on the subject of Genesis 3:15. What side are you on? The right side. Remember the sheep and the goats analogy of Matthew, which it expressed that I will separate the sheep from the goats. Now, goat nature is a carnal nature, a babe nature that will never grow into someone that's upright. If there's nothing upright in the serpent, he's a creature naked and open and was made that way, and there's nothing good that can and upright that can come out of him. Because there was nothing in him. The Bible says that Satan was perfect until iniquity was found within him. It was the serpent that we find who was guilty of this adultery or fornication in the beginning with his transformed nature as he begins to be seen in his right order. He's no longer crafty. He's no longer, if you will, he's no longer the fit and the being that is wise. The original sin, ladies and gentlemen, was that the seed was placed by this one in the garden, which tells us in Matthew 13, we have the outlay of actually what happened in the Garden of Eden written in the book of Matthew chapter 13, a great chapter. And really, I'm telling you, when you actually take that whole chapter and you take chapter 3 of Genesis and do your comparisons, you learn that the enemy or the adulterer that was sowing the illicit seed was the devil, Satan. He's not a snake. When you think that the serpent was hanging in a tree and did all these things that we're made to believe back in Genesis 3, we actually need a preacher that is telling us the truth. The one that could tell us and explain to us literally and figuratively and spiritually that you could get a literal meaning like Christ is doing the parables in 13 Matthew. He also done them figuratively. He also did them in a spiritual setting and wanted us to understand that fruit is simply a literal fruit, such as an apple or a pear, as they literally tell us. Now, that was something that grew on the tree. But when we spiritualize it and bring it down to its spiritual setting, Christ was telling us that in these scriptures that the serpent was the one that beguiled Eve, tricked her, to use the word eat, which was the word lay that I gave you in 398 Ekal. If you look that word up, to lay, to lay. Eve laid with the snake. Now, the snake was not a wiggly thing that you've thought a snake was, and we've been made to believe it. That's why our mind goes back. How could a snake get Eve pregnant? Well, the Bible would give you three distinct chapters. One in the 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah for your reference points. The other in the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And the other information chapter will be in Ezekiel 31. Read those three chapters in your study. That's going to take you a little while. If you are a babe spiritually, you're going to soon grow up and become an adult. You're going to grow your teeth to chew on these mysteries. And then you're going to figure it out because they that are of Yahweh will hear Yahweh's word. What the Christian church has done is they've gone back to Genesis and they've literally or figuratively painted Genesis in such a way that people's carnal understanding is unfruitful to the knowledge of what Yahweh tried to tell us there when he said, Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear, for they have eyes to see and can't see, and they have ears to hear, and they can't hear. Just like if you would take, the word beguiled. Now that has sexual connotation, if you will. And if you would think about that for just a little while, as these connotations are now trying to provoke you to thought, to see which side of Genesis 3:15 your understanding comes down on. Are you of the understanding that the serpent was an original snake that crawled on his belly? Or was he that beautiful archangel that stood so close to Yahweh, the Eternal One? And that when he had made Satan must have forgot about this, but Yahweh knew somewhere in the making of Satan, he said he was perfect until iniquity was found within him. So Satan was an upright creature. He didn't look like a wiggly snake. This is just showing you how Yahweh sees him, not as a high-ranking Elohim, that is, among the angelic beings of the trees in the garden. If you'll read the 14th chapter again of Isaiah, the 28th chapter of Ezekiel, and the 31st chapter of Ezekiel, these are three specific chapters that I would recommend that you spend a lot of time in if you're having trouble here, and these three chapters will help you understand Genesis 3:15 and what side of Genesis 3:15. Are you on the right side with the sheep? These are two classes of people in the earth. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, if there's only two classes of people, good and evil, why then are we made good and evil? Well, it's like I said, if the seed is made from the good side of something that was good, it's going to be good. Either make the tree good and the seed good, or the offspring good, or the results of the seed, whatever two seeds get together, male and female. Eve was a male, Satan, or a female, and Satan was a male. How do we know? His seed. A woman can't bring forth seed until she's implanted with a seed. Now remember that. Eve was made perfect until she had imperfection put in her, and then the DNA of the result of her being a female, with the idea that the serpent was a male to bring forth seed. See, the seed had to come from without her. It had to be placed within her. And when this seed was planted, she bared in the image of that seed. Well, we find out in the Bible, it tells us that Cain was of that wicked one. Now, let me repeat that. Cain was of that wicked one. See, the seed was planted from a seed that was wicked. A seed that had evil in it from its very beginning itself. So when that seed was made, Satan, the snake, now that's just analogy they were given for this beautiful creature that even all of the trees in the garden, he was so good looking, folks. He was not a snake. He was not a wiggle hanging in a tree asking her to do something by just talking to her. He created within her womb. He knew that she was someone to bring forth of the highest order. He knew that if he could place his seed first, he could get the first fruit. And we go back to Jacob and Esau. Did you know that they wrestled for supremacy? Because in this later state, the firstborn was very important, because in the book of Exodus, chapter 13, you ever notice this 13th chapter of Exodus? Remember this. This is a good way for you to remember the law of the firstborn. It's in the 13th chapter of the book of Exodus. A good way for you to remember the analogies that I'm talking about tonight is Matthew chapter 13. It's the book of the seeds. Genesis 3:15 is the book of the seeds, Genesis 3. And it tells about the development, their typology, how that we could type them, how Christ used these metaphors, if you will, these analogies, to tell us in these simplistic forms of Matthew 13 how to identify and to reveal what actually that beautiful son of Yahweh, Satan, what he did in his mind when that bad in him began to manifest. Now, he was perfect until, let me show you something here. The seed was good. When Satan was created, he was good until iniquity. He had iniquity in him, folks. Now, a deceiver is someone that can be good and someone that can be evil. With the highest order of his originality being evil. Now, when Satan was good, he was a tree of good and evil. And a tree is typed, like I said, as a man. Satan is a male of the highest order in the hierarchy. Angels are made in the sense that they themselves are different type of offspring that came from Yahweh than Adam is, who came from the earth, with a spiritual mind placed in him by Yahweh. Now that's how we're different from them. We are a little lower than angels, so Satan was a little higher than we was with iniquity. Isn't that something? That the snake, Satan, the serpent, was ranked next to man. And he actually looked very like a man. You see that missing link that we're talking about here in Genesis chapter 3? Nobody's ever seen him. And yet we know he had a seed. And the most surprising thing about it, as it tells us in Genesis 6, that these other angels that were in the Garden of Eden, that envied this beautiful angel and desired to be like him. And when they saw this seed, if you will, manifesting in the earth, Satan's seed, Cain, he was, if you will, he produced some good-looking sons, and they envied. that strange? Excuse me. Satan looking upon his offspring, and the angels observing, they look upon the offspring. And the Bible says in Genesis 6 that they lusted. They lusted. They desired, just like Satan desired. See that desire within Satan. These other angels made choices. They fell through choice. They were told to remain loyal and to be helpers and instructors to what Yahweh had done. But these women with beautiful long hair, they begin to lust because Satan's sons, who were good looking, and they begin to mate with woman and have offspring. And so Satan and the other angels, they begin to lust, and they had offspring. And by this time, Yahweh repented. He repented that he'd ever made man. Isn't that something? And we're going back quite a bit of time and trying to broad brush this for your understanding to communicate to you in a spiritual sense of the right hand. What side of Genesis 3:15 do you come down on? Do you come down on Genesis 3:15 with a carnal mind? You come down on the left side of your understanding? Or do you come down to the right side or the right hand with a mind that is able to eat meat rather than desire milk? You know, you go around these people that have a milk mentality. You meet them all the time in church. About everything that goes to church has got a milk mentality. They're always hungry. And so you take a steak to the dinner table where you're feeding them, and the first thing you find out and they can't eat it. They don't have any teeth of understanding to devour the meat, which gives them strength, and they can grow, and they can become servants of Yahweh. The serpent didn't have something within him that he could pass on to his offspring, and that was a spiritual soul. You see, in his soul, it was found with iniquity. In other words, an evil side. If you look at Adam, he was created full grown. He didn't have to grow. You ever think about that? Adam wasn't made a little baby. Says he was a man. Full grown. Perfect intelligence. He had to possess a spiritual soul with a prophetic revelation. He knew what was happening here. He was not deceived. The Bible said he wasn't. He wasn't deceived. It was Eve, who was a hybrid, if you will. She was not a full grown, she was a babe, if you will. didn't have that spiritual understanding. She had, if you will, and Satan knew this, she was a weaker or a less of an understanding. Her, she was capable of learning. You know what the Bible said, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what we're talking about on this carnal side of Genesis 3:15. Are you there? Or have you progressed to the accepted side, which is the good side, which is the right side, which is the side that you should be taken from? You know what I mean, in the day of judgment? Matthew 25:31. Now it shall come to pass that when the Son of Man comes in His glory. Isn't that what Yahweh crowned man with? Glory and intelligence to be a full-grown spiritual understanding soul that could be worthy of hearing the word, of keeping the faith, and not denying His name. You want to become a son of the family of the right hand, not a family of the serpent from the left hand. Choose this day to you, sir. And remember the old saying that the apple never falls too far from a tree. Well, in this case, you'll know a tree, you'll know a tree by its fruit. A good tree, the right-hand side, cannot bring forth left-handed fruit, or left-handed seed, or left-handed understanding. You must understand with a spiritual mind to comprehend the deep things of Yahweh, for it is a fearful thing. Now, I don't know why this is put in there. Sometimes it scares people. This, the best thing you can do is, like a baby, you know, like a grown man is holding you up and he's swinging you up in the air and you just like to let go and fly, but you know that by nature, you're not made to fly. On the outward plane. What goes up must come down, and you know that you will. And so you're afraid to let go of your daddy. And so it is with a spiritual understanding. Yahweh is wanting you to launch out into the deep with your understanding. Now, if you know of all the breeding experiments in the earth, Yahweh did not create all of these hybrids that is running rampant. But Satan don't want me to talk about this with a spiritual understanding. These hybrids, they're not Yahweh's seed. The Bible said kind after kind. Yahweh would not produce hybrids or bastards. A bastard is someone that doesn't know who his father is. We've got a lot of people in the earth that don't know who their father is. Now, you don't know where any community of Canaanites live, do you? Isn't it strange that the Canaanites have lost their identity? They don't know who they are. They don't know who their father is. You know, the Jews of the 8th chapter of John, you know, they had that problem. Our father is Abraham. The Messiah. The Eternal said, if Abraham was your father, you would love do you mean by that? And you get deeper and deeper into the equation here of Genesis 21, the first verse. This just hits a home run of understanding to those that can read it with the eyes and the ears that they need to have this understanding. But to them who are carnal, or on the seed of the serpent, yeah, that's why Yahweh said, I hid this from the wise. I didn't speak this to how this was our understanding. Read Matthew 21, verse 1. Just read it. Slow it down. And Yahweh did unto Sarah what Abraham had did to her. It was Yahweh. Now remember what Yahweh done to Mary? He overshadowed her. Could this have happened in Genesis 21, where Yahweh is beginning to pattern a seed, not after the outward man, but a seed, spiritually seed, a seed that would hear him? Was Isaac a seed planted by Yahweh into the womb of Sarah, just like was the Messiah, the seed that was planted in Mary and not by Joseph, as was supposed in Luke 3? Well, if Yahweh didn't create all the hybrids, and he said, your father's a devil, and the works of your father he will do. How did Satan get a seed in Genesis 3 that would create enmity, hatred, and strife with that other seed that was gotten in the Garden of Eden, just like it was gotten with Mary? You see, a lot of people let down their understanding when they go back to Genesis 3, because they don't think that Yahweh could have gotten a seed in Genesis 3:15. In the same womb, after the seed was planted by Satan, remember, that was a seed cursed in Genesis 3:15, the left-hand seed. And there's a right-hand seed that people forget. We found it located in Genesis 21 when Yahweh did unto Sarah as he had promised her. That's true that Abraham claimed Isaac and gave Isaac everything he had. Now, he gave it all to the right hand. He gave nothing to the left side of that seed line. If you ever notice that, everything that Abraham had, he gave to the right seed. And you see, the world, with their understanding, their blinded eyes, and their deaf ears, they give everything they've got to gain the world or to give to the seed of the left hand. So Yahweh is not the author of hybrids. Cain was a hybrid. When Satan committed fornication with the woman, he planted his seed in her womb, and it became fused with her egg, or had part of her DNA, or X chromosomes, if you will, and she produced a hybrid because Satan himself was a hybrid. You understand that? Yahweh was not a hybrid. Yahweh had no fault. Satan had one. That meant that he wasn't perfect. He was a perverted seed. And death came into the world, yet death was not in the seed natural, but in the seed spirit of the characteristics recessive or dominant. And it's two immediate progenitors. And if you got that, the male presenting the Y chromosomes, the female the X chromosomes, and there's nothing in any individual that was not in the father or mother of that person, and everything that was in the father and in the mother is in the offspring. That's Mendel's law. So being a crossbreed with the angel, Satan, and the woman, Cain, was the son of the serpent, inherited a part of Eve's nature, and the nature of the spirit, which was in Adam. And so you may either make the tree good and the fruit good, or the fruit bad, and that's the whole crutch of the whole thing. And Genesis 3:15, what side do you come down on in Genesis 3:15? Are you of an understanding that Cain was of the wicked one? Are you of the understanding that Abel was of the righteous one? Now, here's something I told you, each one had a choice. Every individual is a total sum of the characteristics recessive or dominant, and its two immediate progenitors. It has to be a male or female, and each one contributes. If the seed comes from the serpent, it'll show up in that seed. It showed up in Esau. If you go to the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis, you'll get another shock of your understanding, but it proved Mendel's law. Because when Rebecca went to inquire of Yahweh, when she found herself pregnant, as she assumed, with the good seed, which would be Isaac, she's carrying the twins, and she assumed was from Isaac, and of course it's possible for Isaac, or one seed in this case, the total sum of the characteristic of the recessive or dominant genes of its progenitors. She went to inquire of Yahweh in 25 Genesis, and she said, if I am pregnant, which is normal, I've been exposed to Isaac, your son, but I've got a struggle in my womb. And Yahweh explained to her, he said, there's two seeds in your womb. Now before you run off and say that that was Isaac's seed, that other twin, I've got news for you. You need to read the Bible and open your eyes. It was not Isaac's son. Jacob was, but in the same womb was the recessive or dominant, we proved it was dominant, it wrestled for supremacy of firstborn. Esau came out, his very very nature shows that he wasn't of Yahweh. Yahweh said he hated him from the very beginning. Do you think Yahweh, who was good, could plant a something in a womb that came from the son of Yahweh, that was Isaac, into a woman that would to supply as a progenitor the X chromosomes into that being, and that Yahweh would hate that? I don't think so. Esau was from the devil. Your father is the devil. I know this is a little bit un-Baptist. It's not typical Baptist doctrine. I've got to get off here anyway. I can't go on. So I've got to hurry up and stop here tonight and tell you that you're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. Tonight on 5890 WWCR, we're glad to have you in here at a Bible study on Genesis 3:15. Where do you come down? Why don't you decide? If you found this hard to take, you're on the left side of Genesis 3:15. If you found that this is right down your understanding, then the right side of your understanding is taken root from spiritual forces that formed you from the very beginning, that you would hear the word of Yahweh. May Yahweh bless you and you understand. I got to get up. Let me give you my address real quick. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568. That's 568 in Sweetwater. One word. Sweetwater, Tennessee. 37874. Now, if you'd like to call me tonight, area code 423-351-1082. And if you'd like to go to our website, that's oneyahweh.com. Brother Bob, I have this message tonight. Maybe we could get into some more of it because I've got a long way to go to reteach and teach. I have other messages on this subject. You need to go to our website and find in sermons some of the many hundreds of messages of that is up there already uploaded, and you can download them for your listening enjoyment, to maybe that you'd have ears to hear and eyes to see, and I hope so. Well, again, I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Ed, Brother Bud, and Brother Mark down in Mississippi. 1-800 for Brother Paul, my sponsor in Michigan. He's one of those northern guys, but he's not a Yankee. He's one of those Yahweh boys. 1-800-253-2748. I love you. I'll see you next Saturday night. Yahweh bless.